This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Grace and peace to you, and welcome to Old South Church in Boston and to this live streamed service of worship. Welcome to this time and place that feels like none other, where the saints across Boston, across the world, have connected and gathered to turn again to God in prayer and praise. In this, our 350th year, we have seen both epidemic and pandemic before. And to do our part, we are gathering virtually, so to flatten the curve and to give our doctors and nurses, our governments and leaders, the grace and space to do what is needed in this season. Throughout the week, we will offer other chances to connect and gather virtually, including daily prayer Monday to Friday, and our Thursday evening jazz coffee house. This morning, our church school families met on Zoom, so there are totally many ways that you can connect virtually with Old South in this season. Information about all of this and all our programs can be found at oldsouth.org. We would love to know who is joining us this morning, so feel free to comment in the chat feature as we worship. Let us know who you are and where you are viewing from. Think of this as your virtual fellowship pad. Today we welcome to the chancel Pam Roberts. Pam is a visual artist and a member of Old South Church who will share our scripture story today. Pam and her husband Scott are longtime members of Old South, having met here as young adults. So we are so grateful that she is with us this day. We have posted a link to the bulletin in the chat feature, and here's what we want you to do. We want you to recite the prayers with us. We want you to bow your heads and lift your hearts to God. We want you to sing and sing out loud because it feels good to sing. We want you to do all of this first so that we can remind ourselves that we are not alone, but gathered together still. But perhaps more importantly, we want you to do all of this because if we do, if we worship in this new way as best as we can, we will make glad the heart of God. So let us get on with this holy work of being in the presence of the God in whose arms we rest and reside. Let us worship God in the beauty of holiness. Let us bow before God, our Maker, and make our confession. the sacrifice acceptable to God. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Praise to you, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
For you do not call the righteous,
but us sinners to repentance.
Create in me a clean heart, O God,
and renew a right spirit within me.
Let us pray silently our confession. People of God, receive this good news. The mercy of our God is from everlasting to everlasting. The God of mercy forgives us all our sins, strengthens us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keeps us in eternal life. Let the church say, Amen.
Be feeling a bit scared or upset this week with all the talk of viruses and schools being closed and parents stressing out. It is okay if you are a jumble of emotions, if you are feeling anxious and lonely. In today's scripture lesson, we meet a woman who also was anxious and lonely. Jesus met the woman when he stopped at a well to get a drink. The woman came to the well in the middle of the day, the hottest part of the day, because she was trying to avoid people. No, not because she was trying not to get other people sick. It was because she was being bullied. People were telling her that she was not good enough. But Jesus saw the woman. He saw her for all that she was, and he asked her for a drink of water. You see, even though people of the town treated the woman as an outcast, Jesus knew that she was a beloved child of God. Jesus offers the woman living waters, not the kind you carry in a bucket, but what Jesus calls living waters, which is our very connection to God. Christ offers us this living water to you and to me. No one will be turned away from this deep well, this relationship with God. It is a water that will get us through the driest deserts. This water will cool our throats and wash the tears from our faces. Through this water, we are connected with the world around us and also with the life force that flows to us from God. And all we have to do to get this living water is to receive it. Will you pray with me? O God, source of living water, wash us with your love and peace. Amen.
So Jesus came to the Samaritan city of Sychar, near the plot of ground where Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, who was tired out from his journey, sat down by the well for a rest. The disciples had gone into the city to find some food, as it was about noon. A woman of Samaria came along to the well to draw some water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." The woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask water of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews and Samaritans have nothing in common." Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God And if you knew who it is who is asking you, give me a drink of water, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it with his flocks and his children? Jesus replied, Anybody who drinks from this well will be thirsty again, but those who drink from the water that I will give will never thirst. The water that I give will gush up like a spring to eternal life. The woman said, Well, sir, give me some of that living water so that I may never go thirsty or have to keep coming back to the well. Jesus said, Certainly, go fetch your husband and bring him back here. The woman said, Oh, I have no husband. Jesus said, You are right in saying that you have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you are with now is not your husband. Everything you have said is true. The woman said, You are a prophet. But tell me, our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say we should worship in Jerusalem. Jesus said, Woman, believe me, the time is coming when we will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming. No, the hour is now when those who wish to worship the Father must worship in truth and spirit. God is looking for those who will be true followers, and God is spirit. And to worship him, one must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said, Sir, I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. And when he comes, he will explain this all to us. And Jesus said, I am he. The one to whom you are speaking. Well, just then, the disciples came back from town, and they were astonished to see Jesus talking with the woman. But no one said, Why are you talking with her? Or, What do you want? The woman left her jar, and she went back to the city. She said to the people, Come! Come! Come see a man who told me everything I have ever done! He cannot be the Messiah, can he? And the people put down their things, and they went back to see Jesus. But in the meantime, the disciples were trying to get Jesus to eat something. Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And the disciples said, Well, did someone else give him some food? Rabbi, you must eat. And Jesus said, my food is my work. To do that which I have been sent to do by God. Do you not say, 4 more months and the harvest will be ready? But I tell you, look around you. The crops are ripe for picking. Even now, the harvester is gathering wages and bringing in crops, the fruits for eternal life. The sower and the reaper rejoice together, as the saying goes. You know, I sent you to do a task, to harvest that which you did not labor for. Others have labored, and you have entered into a pact with them. Now, the people believed the woman because of her testimony. He had told me everything I have ever done. So they came to Jesus. And they asked him to stay, and he stayed for 2 days. And more came, and they believed him. And they said to the woman, Well, it's no longer because of what you said, for we have heard him and believe him. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. May God help us to find understanding from these words.
Thank you. when Old South Church in the 1920s was contemplating the introduction of radio ministry, airing services over the airwaves, our senior minister of the time, George Gordon, was rather opposed to the idea. The reason? He was not convinced that listeners at home would comport themselves with proper reverence. They might not dress up for church at home. Instead of sitting up straight in the pews, they might slouch. And what if, God forbid, they succumb to sipping coffee during service? Just saying. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, come near now to each of us, so near as to oil the hinges of our hearts' doors, that they may swing gently and easily to welcome your coming. Amen. The long, probing, sometimes uncomfortable, somewhat testy exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, it is no chin wag. Chin wag, a long and pleasant conversation between friends. Chin wag, idle chatter among pals. This exchange between Jesus and the Samaritan woman, it is no chin wag. The two aren't friends, they're not neighbors, and they're not family. The exchange is sometimes tense, the two circling each other as if sparring. And note this, among the many topics raised between them is, where should we worship? Well, there's a timely question. The Samaritans, then and still today, claim that Mount Gerizim is the holiest site of all. It is there, say the Samaritans, that we should worship. After all, Moses decreed its sanctity, and it was upon Mount Gerizim that Abraham came that close to sacrificing his only son, Isaac. Alternately, the Jews of Jesus' day held that the true locale for worship was in Jerusalem, at the temple. So imagine the people of ancient Palestine off to worship for Shabbat. Half of them go that way and the other that way. Who knew today's lectionary reading, landing as it does in the midst of a pandemic and social distancing, would be about where to gather for worship? Happily for us, for we who are dispersed today, unable to gather at any single holy place. Happily for us, Jesus decrees that true worship need not be associated with any particular location, no matter how sacred or venerable. Here we are then, not by our own brilliance or faithfulness, but by an act of fate, living out Jesus' teachings, dispersed, yet gathered, in diaspora, yet tuned in to screens from kitchen and bedroom, living room and hotel room, car and train. Here we are today, gathered, not in body, but present and worshiping God in spirit. We may be following Jesus' teaching, but let us admit this. What is happening here across the world is profoundly disconcerting. It is disquieting. The breadth of social disruption, staggering and worrying. It feels dystopian. And we don't know how bad it will get or who might be taken from us. Nevertheless, all of that notwithstanding, we have much for which to give our God thanks this day. Moreover, we have a responsibility to give God thanks. St. Paul admonishes us to give thanks in all circumstances, bar none. Perhaps especially amidst the circumstance of pandemic today. So I have a list of that for which I am deeply thankful in this strange and worrying season. Maybe my list will spark your own. Perhaps you will be moved in the coming days to pause, turn off the news, stop counting the new cases, and make a list of that for which you are thankful. Here is my list. I give God thanks for the members of Old South Church's COVID-19 Blue Ribbon Task Force. Comprised of experts in medicine, public health, and government, these people took time from their harried lives in the worst moment of their lives, time from work and family, to talk, confer, advise, and help us make the best decision possible with the information we had. The hard decision, I dare say, the holy decision, to suspend in-person worship and all gatherings until we find ourselves on the other side of pandemic. Because of this task force, our decision was informed by science, math, reason, and good citizenship. Because of this task force, we made the decision early enough to adjust our plans and programming that we might be here today, that our children gathered this morning by Zoom to study together. So today, I give God thanks for Brad, Nancy K., David D., David B., Hillary, Lisa and Kyle, Alan and Laurel, Phil, Steve, Ralph, and Rich. I also give God thanks for you who support this church throughout the year. It is by your generosity that among our staff is a full-time communications expert. Jamie is here today behind the camera. In the past few days, she has worked tirelessly to comb through all our messaging, website, social media, outdoor signage, to bring them in conformity with this new normal. I give God thanks for you who support this church, enabling us to communicate and worship together right now. I give God thanks for my colleagues on the staff of Old South Church in Boston. You, Old South Church, you could not be better served than by this team right now. Your staff has swung into action with competence, compassion, and courage, all working together, working overtime, as we shift into a whole new way of doing things. I give God thanks for my colleagues. I give God thanks for the daffodils in our church garden. They know nothing of this contagion, and I like that about them. A few of them are up now, bright, cheerful, brave, and resolute. I give God thanks that in this season of pandemic, we are well served by medical and public health officials, and that by email, the World Wide Web, television, and radio, we have ready access to desperately needed information. I give God thanks for all of that. I give God thanks for our own members who are doctors and nurses who are on the front lines, in the trenches, battling with professionalism, kindness, courage, and sacrifice. I give God thanks for all of you. I give God thanks for the resources of our Christian faith, for psalms that by turns rail and rage, comfort and soothe. I give God thanks for sacred music and sacred story and familiar prayers. These are the church's treasure. Sacred resources formed and burnished over two millennia, formed and burnished by ancestors who have known their own share of grief and terror. They are there for us, for our use now, binding us with the saints across time. And in this season of pandemic, as we are reminded of human fragility in the face of calamity, with our mortality and indisputable presence, I give God thanks for the hope of heaven. I give God thanks for my family, whom I love fiercely. And finally, my list is longer, but I won't go on. Finally, I give God thanks for old friends who, in a season of pandemic, reach out for a good chin wag. I've had a couple of those these past few days. Long, rambling, pleasant conversation comprised of idle chatter, catching up, good gossip, and sentences that begin, "Oh, I remember the time." They make me glad, these chin wags and these friends. They make me smile. They bring me joy. They do me good. For these and for so much more, even today, especially today, I give God my high thanksgiving. Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
May our prayer rise before God like incense.
May the lifting of our hearts be like a morning sacrifice.
Let us pray. Holy God, you who are as close as our very breath, hold us in your arms this day that we might feel your loving embrace. We are afraid, and so we turn to you, our foundation and strength in every time of trouble. You who formed us from the dust, you who hold us all in the palm of your hand. We pray for wisdom, especially for the leaders of this nation and every nation, that they would see the world as you see it, filled with beloved life that must be safeguarded. We pray for guidance as we live into new ways of being church, new forms of worship, of connecting with one another, of caring for those most in need. We pray for healing, your healing, which is beyond vaccine or cure, a healing not just of the body, but which calms our minds and shines a light of hope when despair takes hold. We pray for strength for all those who are ill or caring for a sick loved one, for all doctors, nurses, researchers, and all medical professionals who seek to heal and help those affected and who put themselves at risk in the process. We pray for peace for all those who have died and for their loved ones who grieve. Hold us close, O God, and still us, so we might hear you speaking to us, knowing us, seeing us, loving us. Fill us with your living waters that will never run dry, that will transform our spirits and souls into springs that burst forth life and love for your people, for ourselves, and for the world. And joining together in one voice, we pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. So, Old South Church, how do we remain the church of the open door when, at least when it comes to worship, we must shut our doors to protect the health and well-being of others? We know that our open door is more than just a physical door, so we do it by getting creative with worship and trying new technologies, building new liturgical muscles to remain flexible and agile in our prayer and in our praise. We do it by reaching out to one another, offering a kind word or a listening ear, leveraging innovative communication tools so that isolation does not have to mean loneliness and disconnection. We do it by speaking out against racism, so insidious in the global coverage of COVID-19, and by urging action to protect prisoners, refugees, and those living in poverty. We do it by remembering all those who do not have a safe place to sleep, a sink to wash in, or food to eat. And we give of ourselves and our resources to ensure the most vulnerable are cared for. We do it by closing these physical doors to keep others safe while opening the doors of our hearts to one another. But we cannot do it without your help. Below you will see a link to help support the work of this Church of the Open Door. This morning's virtual offering will now be given and received.
Is me so sweet? Sisters, you love Jesus.
Yes, Lord, I do love my Jesus.
Sisters, you love Jesus.
His name so sweet.
I do love my Jesus.
Brothers, you love Jesus.
His name so sweet.
Let us pray. Eternal God, whose strong arm and tender care is everlasting, we dedicate our gifts to you for the healing of creation and the coming of your reign. With these gifts, we too dedicate our very lives to your service and to the service of the world you came to save. In Jesus Christ, our brother and Savior. Amen.
Oh,
Walk bravely into this new week. Shun the hollow, hallow the good. Forgive those who wound you and wound not in return. Encourage the discouraged. Cherish times with the lonely. Pray in private crannies about all things. Practice rejoicing. Practice social distancing. Flatten the curve. And the blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. Amen.